Okay, so my name is Tim Owen Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 12th of October, 2009, and the time's 3:15 in the afternoon. Can you please tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
My name is Armel Adams. I am 37 years old, and I live in North Tyneside.
Okay, thank you. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
Now then, it was already running, so I think it'd probably be July, and my boss, Neil, who's with me today, was telling me about it. I think a lot of people in kind of Newcastle and the North East have got a bit of a thing about Anthony Gormley anyway, because of the Angel of North and the projects that he's done at the Baltic. And Neil was saying that he'd applied, and his wife Helen had applied as well. So we were just having a chat, so I sit opposite him, and I was on my computer, so I was like, oh, and just had a, like, applied for it. Unfortunately, him and Helen didn't get picked, but I was the lucky one, so that's good. So we've kind of, it's kind of the three of us doing it kind of through me, because we're all really interested in it, so that's been really nice, actually.
And how did you feel when you received the email to say that you'd been allocated the slot?
I couldn't believe it, because it says, doesn't it, on the website, how many people have applied, and it's kind of like winning the lottery, isn't it? It's just like, well, there's no way, you know, you're ever going to get picked. And then I got picked, and I was like, so that was good. Yeah, it was cool. And then obviously, because Neil and Helen had kind of had a go, I was thinking, oh, well, you know, obviously they're going to be picked as well. And they're like, oh, no, not heard anything. So, and it's the last month as well. So that was really lucky. It was the last ever draw, wasn't it?
Great. So what have you decided to do for the duration of the hour then?
Well, because I've kind of got so much support off Neil, and it's kind of quite important for me at the moment that I think I started working from about a year and a half ago, and I've known him for about 10 years, and it's the first time really that I've wanted to go to work in the morning. You know, like, you work for money, don't you? But it's kind of like, this is sort of our project, and it's his company that he started, and I feel like it's my company as well. So I kind of do the admin side of things, and he does the creative side of things. So we've kind of swapped roles, and I'm going to be taking photographs from the plinth, because the company that we have is a visualization company. So normally he takes photographs, and then he builds architectural models and puts them into the photographs, and I just do like the letter writing and the finances and all that kind of stuff. So this time I'm up there with my tripod and my SLR camera, so I'm taking some shots of the square, because Trafalgar Square is such a kind of tourist destination, isn't it? And I'm sure, like, just thousands of people, just millions of people probably have a picture of themselves in Trafalgar Square. So the idea was to take the ultimate tourist photo. So I'm going to be taking photographs from like one viewpoint throughout the hour, and then we're back in the office, we're going to stitch them all together to try and get all the people who are in there the whole of the hour. And to sort of make, the idea is the ultimate tourist photograph. And then Neil's going to be kind of down doing bits and bobs in the square as well, so that'll be nice, because I'll have, like, we're going to put him in the picture, like, a few different times as well, and then people have to spot him. So that'll be cool.
Great.
So Helen and the kids couldn't be here today, so that'll be cool, so they'll be able to see their dad doing his thing as well.
So can you tell us more then about how you got involved in the organisation, and you say that, you know, you're kind of taking it on as your company as well. So what you know, how you feel within the part of the corporation?
Yeah, well, I met Neil about, like I said, about 10 years ago, and we worked for an architectural company in Manchester. That's how I met him. And then we kind of went our separate ways. He came down to London to work. I stayed in Manchester, and we both worked for different architects. And then he is from the North East, so he moved back there once he started having kids, and then I married someone from the Northeast. So I moved to the Northeast, and then he kind of knew that I'd moved there, so he headhunted me. And I just had my daughter, who's 2 now, and was on maternity leave, and I hated the place that I worked at, and was getting more and more nervous about going back, because it was just very political and very, like, very well paid, but just, I don't know, I think when you have kids, you kind of realise what's important. And it just fell completely perfectly, because I think I needed to go back to work in the October, and that's when he decided to start his company. So I just went to meet him, and then he's got another partner on board, and I'd never met this guy, so I had an interview with both of them, and yeah, just totally hit it off. So from like renting an office space that was completely empty. There was nothing in it, and we, on our first day, we kind of rocked up there and had to borrow some chairs and borrow some tables. We're now all set up and we've got employees, and we've just been really careful about who to employ. Like, we've tried to employ people we're really going to get on with and can kind of mentor and really kind of help to develop them. And it's great because you've just got so much control, you know, of it being your own company. So you don't have as many of those kind of like political or like personality issues when it's someone else calling the shots. So yeah, it's just really nice, and it's nice to see. I mean, it's been tricky because kind of financially, you know, the last few years, it's kind of the economy's been pretty slow. So it's been a little bit slower than we'd hoped, but yeah, it's just starting to take off now, and it's really satisfying, I think.
And you mentioned you kind of moved around a little bit as well. Mm. So you're in Manchester for a bit and then going back up to the northeast. Can you explain, you know, the kind of the stories behind that and how that's been for you?
Well, I grew up in Huddersfield, which is nice, I think, but kind of very sort of small town sort of place, and more so when I was growing up there in the 80s. I think now it's almost a suburb of Leeds and Manchester. And then I went to college, and I love Brookside, so I went to Liverpool University. I don't know if that's a very good way to choose a university. And then I finished in Liverpool right in the middle of the last recession, 93. No jobs at all in Liverpool. So I moved to Manchester on a bit of a whim because I knew quite a few people there. I had an absolutely brilliant time. Just total party central. It was just the start of like the gay village taking off, and I worked down there. Sort of saw it all grow up, and just met some absolutely amazing people who I'm still in contact with now and who live all over the world and just do amazing things and are really cool. So yeah, I lived in Manchester until 2005, and then I got married in 2004, and Adrian had lived down in London and I'd been in Manchester, and I think, and he'd lived in Manchester as well, and he was kind of like over Manchester, so we decided we wanted to move somewhere kind of different together as like a sort of new thing. So we moved to Newcastle, and I think it was the best thing we did, because obviously I've got this wonderful job now with people that I really respect, and he was never really happy with all that. He's an architect. With the companies he'd worked in, again, like big companies, lots of politics, too much work, and he's now started work with a very small, about 10 to 12 people, architectural sort of arts company, and he loves it, and he's become a partner. There's three partners, and they do really, really interesting work, and he's just totally fulfilled, and it's really good, and yeah, it's good. Newcastle's a good place to live. It's quite a small city, and it's weird coming from Manchester, where it took me quite a long time to, like, I had quite good networks in Manchester, but it is a big city, and Newcastle's, you can't put your foot wrong because everyone knows what you do. It's quite odd, but then it's got all the amenities of a big city, and you can go out into Northumberland, which is beautiful, amazing countryside, beautiful. I mean, I live by the beach, and it's just so kind of spectacular and fantastic. And there's a metro system, which is like a public kind of train system, which is dead cheap, just kind of go in and out of Newcastle city centre for work. So yeah, it's a good place to live.
And what else do you get up to in your spare time then?
Well, obviously I've got 2-year-olds, so quite a lot of going to the park, going to the beach, going to the aquarium, doing lots of things that 2-year-olds like to do. What else do we like to do? Read a lot. I've got an MA in creative writing, which I finished sort of at, what do you call it, distance kind of learning when I moved to Newcastle. So yeah, I read a lot. Just learning to crochet. I've always been quite into crafts and stuff, and I've not done anything when my daughter's been small, so I'm just getting back into that. What else do I do? Do a bit of yoga. Nothing spectacular really, just a lot of different things, you know. Just enjoying life.
What was it like studying again?
Let me see. It was good because it was totally kind of what I wanted to do at the time, and it was a very small intake. I think there was only 16 people. Probably a couple of them will have dropped out in the first few weeks. And so it was very, very close-knit. And then I think because it's a creative course, you then gravitate towards the people who creatively are kind of you know, in the same thinking along the same lines, so you end up with an even smaller kind of self-selected group. So I made some good contacts, people who I really kind of get on with and can work with, and yeah, it was really interesting actually. Quite challenging in that I think I did very academic subjects before then, and it's not really part of you, whereas when you do something that's creative, it's very much of you. And that's quite, what's the word? It feels quite risky at the start. I remember the first time, because we had to like kind of read aloud stuff that we'd written, and then you would have sort of sent stuff out the week before and people would have read it and they criticise you. And the first time I did that, I was like ready to bolt out of the door. But then by the second time I did it, it was fine. So that was a really big kind of thing to overcome, I think. So I'm quite a shy person. And I think opening up, you know, yourself is quite a sort of, well, for me, quite a difficult thing to do. And I mean, what I do in my job, which is admin, there's like a right or a wrong answer. And it's quite at a distance from yourself. You know, like if you're talking about finances or HR or whatever, there's a right and a wrong way to do it. It's not about kind of opening up. So yeah, that was good for me. And so what I tried to do, because obviously in my work it's not really kind of, it's creative in a way, but it's not kind of personally creative. So that's partly why I'm doing this, because I think it's really important to kind of keep doing things like that that are very much about yourself. So I did the Spencer Tunick installation at the Baltic in Newcastle, and that was sort of goaded on by a friend of mine who said, oh, you know, if you do it, I'll do it with you. I don't think I would have done it otherwise, but afterwards it was, I kind of felt a bit of a, yeah, feeling of kind of achievement that I'd done that. But I think this is more, because I was talking to Karen before actually, and she was saying she'd met all the different people and how it's about you personally, whereas the Spencer Tunick thing was more about a mass of people, and you got that feeling when you were doing it. So it's made me think very much about, well, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I admire? Yeah, it's quite a personal experience, I think.
So who would you say then you're going on the plinth for?
Well, I kind of had a think about plinths in general and how they are about public display and kind of public adulation in a way. There's a really well-known monument near where I live of Admiral Collingwood, who was Nelson's right-hand man. I'm hoping I'm getting this right now, because I'm not great at history, but I think when Nelson died he carried on the battle and they won, so all the people in the area did like a public subscription and erected this amazing monument. And then when the ships go into the Tyne, it's kind of above the Tyne, and he's like, you know, a famous son of North Tyneside. And it kind of got me thinking, there's not that many plinths that feature women. I mean, even I know that on the fourth plinth there was that project, which was that artist when she was pregnant, and there was a big hoo-ha about that. And I think that was partly about the fact she was disabled and pregnant, which is a very gender-specific thing. So I thought, well, it's good, you know, that I'm a woman and I'm there. So that made me think, well, if I had the choice of putting a statue of someone on a plinth, who would it be? And then I kind of thought about, well, what do I do in my everyday life, which is about kind of technology and images, about visual things and creativity. So my two people who I'm bringing up there with me, so I've got two boards, is Lee Miller, who is a photographer who I really, really admire. And she went into very, very sort of dangerous war situations and really kind of got a lot of energy from that. And almost had a very, like almost a kind of male experience of being creative, where she seems to have felt kind of very isolated in a personal way. And my other person is Ada Lovelace, who was very important in developing computing, and without whom we probably wouldn't have modern day computers. So I'm taking pictures of those two heroines of mine up there, and that's related to what I'm actually doing, which is sort of to do with computing and photography.
Great. So to ask you a couple of questions about you, how would you describe yourself as a person?
Oh, let me think. I'm quite curious in that I like finding out about things, and I don't really think of myself as like a kind of static person. Like for me, the brilliant thing about life is just like trying out lots of new things, and you don't necessarily have to be brilliant at them, but just kind of having a go. And I always think you should never rule out not doing something. You should try it, and you're allowed to kind of not like it, but if you try it, at least you know. So I try and do that, and I try and kind of push my comfort levels. I mean, saying that, I'm not a big extreme sports type person. Maybe more different kinds of experience. So I'm just really kind of interested in things and in people and in experiences and things like that. I think that's me, really.
And what would you say that are the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
At the moment, I would say obviously my daughter. Having a kid is quite interesting for me, because I think I've always been very kind of focused on myself and been very free to do whatever I wanted, and now I've almost got this constraint where whatever I do in my life, I'm always having to kind of keep on top of kind of child development and, you know, and where she is at the time and where she's at kind of mentally and psychologically and all that kind of stuff, and then find time for my things at the same time. And when I first had her, it was just all encompassing and I didn't have any time for me. And now she's getting nearer three, it's like I can kind of take over a little bit more, but I know that like throughout my whole life now, she's always going to be part of me, and I'm always going to be thinking about, okay, so what does she need? Obviously less and less as she gets older, but it's really interesting for me because I've always got something new to learn. Like at the start, it's all about like the nappies and what does that cry mean, and you know, when they get ill, what kind of illness is it? And at the moment, it's all about kind of her security and her language and potty training and her experience of the world. And at the moment, I'm teaching her about left and right and the seasons, so we have these endless conversations about the seasons and which season is which and blah blah blah. She swears blind to me it's winter. She's telling me it's winter this morning. I think she thinks that like the seasons change on different days. She doesn't quite get it yet. So that's quite important. And what else? Yeah, work, obviously, like I've said, that's something that's like really fulfilling at the moment and really important to me. And my parents are getting older. I've just come back from Australia, actually. I've been visiting my brother, who's immigrated over there because his wife's Australian. So we've just had kind of two 24-hour flights with my dad, who's 75, and my mum, who's in her 60s, so I think that was a bit of a strain on them. That's kind of weird, I think, seeing your parents who've kind of looked after you when you've been younger, and then it flips over. So I think kind of in the next few years, that's going to become more of a part of my life. But yeah, you know, it's all interesting, isn't it? It's all part of life.
And how about having your brother across in Australia? What's that like?
He's always been a bit of a globetrotter. He's the sort of person who go, oh, well, I was in Italy, so I thought I'd drive up and see you. And he'd like knock on the door at 4 o'clock in the morning and like he'd be like, oh, I thought you were in Africa. So it's nothing new. But it's a long way, it's a long way to go to visit him. And he's got two little boys who I just totally adore. So that was a bit, that wasn't very nice saying goodbye to them and knowing I won't see them for about another year and a half. But I think they're going to move back, so that's good. His wife's doing a nursing degree, and then they're going to move back after she's finished that. So, and then I've got my little sister lives in London, so I think she's going to come down and see me today. So, it's a good chance to see a bit of the world, because I don't think I ever would have chosen to visit Australia. It's not just a place that I would be interested in. So it was interesting to go. He lives near Brisbane, which is sort of subtropical. Lots of sugar cane, lots of ginger, fields, amazing wildlife, just like parrots in his back garden and koalas in the trees just as you kind of drive along. Like I said, interesting, but not kind of what I'm into. I think I visited Brisbane City and it looks like a really nice place to live, like very much about the outdoors, and obviously being a city, I guess, you know, there's kind of bits of culture and galleries and things like that. But then my brother lives sort of in a quite rural area, and it's very much like you'd never walk anywhere. You have to drive to the shops, you drive to the beach, you drive to see your neighbours, you drive to the corner shop, even the corner shop's a mile away. And I'm very much about kind of walking everywhere and being amongst people and being kind of like interested in what's going on and going to the cinema, and that is just not, it's just a completely different existence really.
So what hopes and fears have you got for the future?
Well, let me see. I hope that I manage to put a bit of money aside so my daughter can actually go to university. I suppose at the moment everyone's thinking about how long you'll have to work to actually earn a pension. I'm happy with quite small things really. I mean, I think as long as you've got your health and your happiness and, you know, you enjoy every day, that's the really important thing. I think life's hard enough without making kind of extra work for yourself really. Maybe I've got low aspirations, but I've just got to a point in my life where I'm just living in a really beautiful place, got a wonderful daughter, you know, everyone's kind of healthy, cross fingers, and yeah, things are good really.
And going back to the project then, how does it feel to be one of 2,400 people that get to experience, to take part in the piece?
Oh, it feels brilliant, and I'm really interested to see what the kind of outcomes are and how it's presented. And obviously this is really interesting part of it, that there's going to be these oral histories. So yeah, I think it's weird because I think like with the tonic thing, it's about the experience and it's about the process, but it's also about what comes out of it. And it just seems like such, this might seem like a funny thing to say, but it seems like such a human project and a very kind of sympathetic project. And I just think because it's 2,400 people, there are just like endless ramifications about how you could kind of go into the information and how you could interpret it. And I just think it's really interesting to see such a range of different people and how they choose to do. There's like a fixed thing that people are doing. They're all essentially doing the same thing, but then there's 2,400 ways of doing it, which I think is a really beautiful thing.
How are you feeling approximately half an hour before you go up on the plinth?
Very nervous. I'm glad I don't have to do any kind of performance type stuff because I'm quite shy. So I'm just going to be focusing on what I'm doing, which hopefully will make me less nervous. And once I'm up there anyway, that's it, isn't it? So hopefully I'll be like, just get on with it. I think it's more nerve-wracking that I didn't kind of really make a big deal of asking people that I know to come and see me, but somehow they found out and they're coming down. I think I wouldn't mind if it was strangers. It's the fact it's like people I know. So yeah, that'll be a bit odd. So I'm hoping they don't wave at me or shout.
What have you got planned for afterwards?
Well, I've got my train back at 8, so I'm meeting my little sister. I think she's going to come down, and then a friend of mine's going to come down and probably just have a bit of a... I think, actually, we just went in the National Gallery and spotted some very nice cakes. So I'm planning a bit of a cake fest. They're looking very good. I bet you guys have been a bit tempted, haven't you?
That happens. Is there anything else you'd like to say for the archive? Anything about the project or about you, about what you've chosen to do?
Just thank you, really. It's been a brilliant opportunity and just something that, you know, I would never have a chance to do in my life, and I just feel really honoured to be doing it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.